here at Focus on the Family, we know that being a single mom is one of the most daunting tasks imaginable. But if you or someone you're close to is walking that journey, God hasn't forgotten about you. I'm John Fuller, along with Dr. Danny Huerta, who heads up our parenting team. And we're going to hear now from Dr. Roland Warren, who is the president of CareNet. They have a number of pregnancy centers across the country. And Roland was raised by a single mom. And here he is with Focus President Jim Daly.
Roland, welcome back.
Well, glad to be here.
It was so good last time, and I just, again, I can't say it enough. If folks missed it, go back and listen to it, because I thought your answers were just right to the heart of a single mom's plight and what she's worried about, what she's concerned about. We want to continue today, get more into the nuts and bolts of tools that can help them. But first of all, what do moms need to know about the dangers boys face when they're growing up without a dad? And both of us being from single parent moms, are you sure you want to tell moms this?
I do. You know, one of my goals in writing this book was to try to help single moms hear from their son things that maybe their son doesn't have the ability to say. I mean, things that I would have wanted to tell my mom when I was 8, 9, 10 years old, but didn't have the emotional intelligence or verbal skills or whatever to actually say. So the second part of the book is really about, you know, his journey. The first part is about her journey, right? I mean, excuse me, her path and kind of that, like healing your inner Hagar, if you will, and walking through. The second part is really his path and how to guide him in that way, and maybe to give you some insight on some of the things that he may be thinking, feeling that he hasn't been able to express to you, to give you a sort of a heads up on those things, right, so that you can be more intentional in that area.
Let's hit the Hagar illustration for the listeners that didn't catch the broadcast last time. Just hit that real quick so they understand what you're saying.
Sure, absolutely. So the book is really, a big part of the book is really using the story of Hagar and Ishmael. Hagar being the surrogate mother, if you will, that Sarah gave to Abraham to have a son through Hagar. And of course, if you know the story, well, Sarah ends up getting pregnant with Isaac, and then Hagar and Ishmael eventually are kind of booted from the camp, kind of put out on a donkey or whatever with a little water, maybe a little food or whatever, and basically sent off. And so when I started thinking about that story, it was just, it's an old story with very contemporary aspects to it, that it's sort of an archetype of a single mother and her son. In other words, a guy made a promise to you, made a promise to your son and didn't keep it. And so that's the framework that I use for a lot of this.
And there's a lot of emotional, spiritual wealth in what you're talking about. Yeah, mm-hmm. And the promises God kept to them, even in the plight of being out in the desert. And again, listen to it if you missed it last time. Let's get into it. When it feels like the odds are stacked against you as that single parent mom, I mean, you can live in that soup of despair, I guess I could call it that. And, you know, to a degree, you'd be justified. Yeah. Things are stacked against you. It's not where the Lord wants you to be. It's not a healthy place to be. But how can that mom be more proactive about guiding that boy's future? I mean, that's probably the thing two-parent families worry about.
Yeah.
How do we guide these boys? So it's not isolated single-parent moms raising sons. All of us are worried about our sons because there's so much against them in the culture.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we see that, you know, boys and young men are not thriving the way that they should be.
I mean, right. All the data seems to suggest
all the data seems to say that. And particularly if you're in a situation where you're a single mom, you've got an extra challenge. I think one of the key things is early on, you want to really be cultivating your connections with your son.
Right.
That is so important.
It's what matters most.
That's what matters most. And we talked about that in the last broadcast about the importance of nurturing, which is really connecting with your son heart to heart and really making that connection. But there are some challenges that you may face. And one of them, I just love this framework that Jack and Trisha Frost kind of laid out in one of their books, which was this whole notion of an orphan's heart. And as I really read
I resonated with that. It was a little scary.
It did. And I read this and I said, oh my gosh, this is me.
Describe it.
Well, you know, it's interesting because if you look at John chapter 14, verse 18, where Christ says, I will not leave you as an orphan, if you will, right? He's talking about that. If you look at the Greek there, what that really means is with an uncertain affinity or affiliation, if you will, or bereaved. And I started to think about that for a son who's growing up without a father. that whole notion that you have this disconnection there. How am I connected? Am I really connected? Because he's not really leaning into me. And there's a woundedness and a bereavement that comes with that. And that Christ, obviously, in that context, doesn't want to leave us with that. But that's something that your son may have. And you can see some of those pieces. And I saw them in my own life, really this tendency to avoid intimacy, self-reliance almost to the point of just, I don't need anybody else. And frankly, just a fear of really building these deep relationships.
Yeah.
And I started to think about that in my own life as I kind of grew up and what that meant and what that meant for me. It really, in a lot of ways, is tied to trust. Because
if you can't
trust this person who's supposed to love you like no other, being your father, well, then who can you trust? Yeah. And I really believe that, and that's kind of a characteristic of an orphan's heart, and you start to walk in that and live in that, it can have an enormous impact on you in terms of relationships.
Yeah. I think, especially that idea of superficial relationships,
yeah.
I think it's a way that we as orphans tend to manage life because it's easier.
Yeah.
If you don't go deep with anybody, then, hey, you know what? I can just be what I am on the surface.
Yeah, and yes, absolutely. And it's interesting, too, because, you know, in ancient times, if a child had a mother but did not have a father, they were still considered an orphan.
Yeah.
In that context. And so that's so important in terms of God's design for family. So you need to just have a sensitivity and understanding of that as a mom to really help him kind of work through that to build the kind of intimacy and relationships that he needs.
Yeah, and I would say orphans who marry. I mean, the thing, I don't know about your wife, but what Jane will say to me sometimes is, you are not connecting right now emotionally. You've got to think about where you're at, whatever the circumstances is. So she's become very good at knowing when I'm going to my orphan heart.
Oh, yeah. And my wife,
for survival, she'll just call me out and say, hey.
My wife is amazing. I'm sorry. My wife is amazing that way as well. She's just been, I mean, God gave me the perfect woman to help me with that aspect of my life.
Doggone it.
He knows what he's doing when he does that. So
it's so true. And it's healthy.
I'm sure that what Roland said resonates with you, or at least a lot of our audience members, Danny. I wonder if we could role play here. If I grew up without a dad in the home, and I didn't, but if I did, how can I learn to trust again? Because I'm feeling a lot of distrust toward guys who keep letting me down.
And it's so important that Roland is speaking into this. I love the fact that we're diving into this because that trust piece is so key to relationships being built again. And where it begins is understanding through a lens of compassion. So knowing that what the person did was not directly related to you in the sense that it wasn't directed at you. It was out of unhealthiness inside of your dad. There were issues and problems and things that he had not resolved. And they were spilling out in these behaviors where possibly it's walking out on the home, possibly abuse, possibly other things, but they weren't personal to you. And so having compassion that my dad knew only what he knew to do in that moment, and he clearly didn't know how to handle love, clearly did not know how to handle being a dad. Hmm. And so there's forgiveness and compassion. That's where you begin, because then it gives you freedom to know that as you choose who you're with and learning to trust, you learn to love them. It actually gives you a deeper love if you can get through this than people that have not gone through this. Mm-hmm. And I've heard some clients say this. I love this conclusion. They say, had my dad not done this, I wouldn't be the person I am today. They get a new perspective on it, a new interpretation that without these things, they wouldn't be as resilient. They wouldn't be shaped into who they are today. And it's not out of a lens of resentment, but out of a lens of gratitude. And we've talked about gratitude and the power of gratitude in earlier episodes. And listen to that one if you need to, as you're thinking about this idea of having gratitude for the journey you've been on, including the pain and difficulty, including potentially the hurt that you've received from a dad, so that you can be free and you can love. And then you establish trust. And once you establish trust, man, you begin to experience the depth of relationship that God has talked about. Mm. And then you can connect even deeper with your Heavenly Father.
So it is possible. It takes a lot of work, a lot of thought, a lot of introspection. Yes. And it might take some help from a counselor. And
most likely will.
We're pretty pro-counseling here at Focus on the Family. Not because psychology has the answer, but because biblical counseling does have the answers. The scripture has answers for what we're dealing with and has hope in Christ. And so why don't you contact our counseling team and start to unpack where you've been and maybe areas you haven't talked about yet with someone. And what they'll do is when a counselor gives you a call back is they'll have a free consultation with you, and they'll listen to you. They'll offer the hope of the truth, the hope of God's love for you, and ways to reconnect with God and possibly with that parent at the least to find a healthier spot in your life. They're a phone call away, and we've got the details in the show notes. And then you heard from the heart of Roland Warren, and he's got a terrific book, Raising Sons of Promise. We're making that available today for a gift of any amount. If you can, make a one-time donation to the Ministry of Focus on the Family. If you're doing okay, maybe a monthly pledge is possible. I'd encourage you to join Danny and me and many other staff members who believe in the work of Focus on the Family so much that we make a regular, ongoing monthly contribution. Once you set it up, it's kind of set up and forget it. And it's a really great way to support the work that Focus on the Family is doing. Join the support team and request that book. And as I said last time, if you're a single mom and you need the book and you can't donate, just ask for it. We'll make sure you get it. Next time, Ashley Willis will share about focusing on good things in your parenting. And for now, on behalf of Dr. Danny Huerta and the entire team, I'm John Fuller, and thanks for listening to the Focus on the Family Parenting Podcast.